Good evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Here are some of the stories we are covering today, Thursday, November 24, 2016. Activists demand justice against rape perpetrators in South
Sudan. This is not acceptable at all. Not acceptable by any of one of the 64 communities in South Sudan. We didn't see killing of women. During our wars, we never saw women, old women, being raped by their young children.
And do Africans want democracy?
The people who support democracy, many of them do it because they have a formal education, they use news media at high rates, they engage with the political process, and they often have a more procedural view of democracy. They were learned about in school as elections, about legislatures, about representation, about rights and liberties.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. South Sudanese activists are calling on government officials to punish criminals who rape and assault women. The activists are kicking off 16 days of activism, including public rallies against gender-based violence. Michael Atit has the report for VOA from Juba.
Dozens of women activists at workshop on combating violence against women and girls sing song to boost each other's morale. The women activists say the number of victims and survivors of gender-based violence has increased since violence broke out in Juba in July between government and rebel forces. They say violence has destroyed South Sudan's image. Agnes Wasuk, an activist working for the South Sudan Council of Churches, says the absence of peace in the country contributes to the rampant cases of violence, especially against women.
People are very angry, people are hurt, people are oppressed. That's why they behave negatively because of that. If we don't get peace now, all the people of South Sudan will become violent because these people are traumatized. They want to express their trauma through violence.
Wasuk says women activists under the umbrella group National Women Program of the South Sudan Council of Churches will spend the next 2 weeks advocating for peace and creating awareness among communities on the need to end all violence and revenge attacks across the country.
That's why this particular workshop is to teach, to skill the people from the churches so that they go and create awareness in their churches that violence is negative.
Another activist who refers to herself as Mama Keji says violence is becoming rampant among South Sudanese communities. She says because South Sudanese have experienced so many years of conflict, people no longer respect the rights of fellow citizens as they did before.
Sometimes you see even children are aggressive to their fathers and mothers. They are aggressive to their sisters and brothers, even girls. Sometimes they are aggressive. Then we need to teach them how we can stay together as a family, how we can respect ourselves.
Women rights activist Margaret Juma describes violence in the country as a cancer that is destroying humanity in South Sudan. Speaking in Arabic, Juma says people should not give up in creating awareness about forgiveness and reconciliation.
Even if you did not get a positive response from that person, don't give up. Try that again, and at the end of the day, he will accept the truth. We should stop the habit of revenge and learn how to forgive each other. This is one of the solutions that women are advocating for in our families, communities, and the whole of South Sudan.
Lona James Elia is with the NGO Voice for Change, which facilitated today's workshop. She says women need to see perpetrators of rape, sexual assault, and harassment arrested and face their alleged victims in the court of law.
This is not acceptable at all. Not acceptable by any of one of the 64 communities in South Sudan. We didn't see killing of women, during our wars. We never saw women, old women, being raped by their young children. This is not acceptable, and we're actually urging that for those who are doing that, and if they're really caught, they should be brought to justice.
The 16 days of activism runs through December the 10th, which is International Human Rights Day. For VOA News, I am Michael Atit in Juba.
Do Africans still want democracy? That's the title of a new survey from Afrobarometer, a pan-African non-partisan research network. It shows a 10-year upward trend of Africans demanding democracy ended in 2012. There's been a downturn ever since. VOA's Joe DiCapua reports.
Citizens in 36 African countries were questioned about their views on democracy. Professor Robert Mattis is the lead author of the Afrobarometer report.
Since democracy broke out around the world in the 1980s and early 1990s, we're just interested in to what extent ordinary people want to stick with the project, to what extent they're committed to democracy and are ready to reject the siren calls of authoritarian alternatives. We asked a series of questions, whether people always prefer democracy, what they think about other alternatives, such as military rule, one-party rule, or a strongman president who doesn't have to worry about elections and legislature.
The political studies professor is director of the Democracy in Africa Research Unit at the University of Cape Town. He's also a visiting scholar at Princeton University. Mattis highlights the overall survey findings.
68% say that democracy is always preferable, and anywhere between 70 and 80% would reject military rule and one-party rule, etc. But when you put all that together and say how many people say yes to all those questions, give the pro-democratic response to each one, in the current survey, only 46% said yes to all of those things. And that is a significant downturn from our last surveys, which we did in 2013-2014, in which support for democracy in Africa or demand for democracy had reached a high point of 51%.
But why the decline?
What's very clear is demand dropped in each country that had an election that was flawed. African support for democracy has what we would call an intrinsic element, meaning the people who support democracy, many of them do it because they have a formal education, they use news media at high rates, they engage with the political process. And they often have a more procedural view of democracy. They were learned about in school as elections, about legislatures, about representation, about rights and liberties.
Mattis also says people support democracy if it delivers the goods.
For some people, it's the economic goods, growth and reducing inequality. And other people support it because they think it delivers political goods like stability and peace and freedom. And amongst the political elements, we find that elections are some of the most important determinants of whether people think they're actually living in a democracy and thus whether they want a democracy. And where elections are seen by people as completely above board and with a high level of public integrity, demand has maintained or even increased. But where large percentages of the people have doubts about the integrity of the election, demand for democracy has dropped precipitously.
The demand for democracy is greater in some African countries than others.
You go to some of Africa's oldest democracies, Mauritius, for example, 74%. Senegal, two-thirds. Botswana, two-thirds. Zambia, 60%. And even in some new multi-party systems that are just struggling to re-implant democracy or sustain it for the very first time, like Ivory Coast or Burundi, you have high levels of support.
But Burundi has seen about a year and a half of political violence. It began in April of 2015, when President Pierre Nkurunziza announced he would seek a third term. He won re-election, despite critics calling it unconstitutional. In Mozambique, the Afrobarometer survey shows only 9% of citizens support democracy. One political party has dominated there since the end of the civil war in 1992 and the first multi-party elections in 1994. Rebel attacks resumed in 2013. North African countries have some very low levels of support for democracy as well. For example, in Algeria, it's just 21%. Sudan, 17%, and Egypt, only 13%. Researchers were not able to poll residents in the world's newest country, South Sudan. It's suffering from years of conflict, violence, and political unrest. Demand for democracy is higher in urban areas in Africa and among those with a high school or university education. The same holds true for middle-class business people and professionals, and those who hold clerical jobs.
That is the group we think have been rising in Africa over the last 5 to 10 years with the sustained growth that many countries had. People with a job are much more likely to support democracy than people who are partially employed or unemployed.
Professor Mattis stresses that support for democracy hinges on elections and whether citizens see them as free and fair. A party refusing to accept the results of an election can have a damaging effect. Joe DiCapua, VOA News, Washington.
As South Sudan's economic crisis worsens, many young people in the Imatong state capital, Torit, have decided to operate motorbike taxis known as Boda Boda in order to earn a living. Many of these young men wake up early in the morning each day to scramble for few available customers. Dimo Silva Aurelio has more for VOA from Torit.
A Boda Boda driver raises the engine of his motorbike to attract attention near the Torit Civil Hospital. Boda Boda drivers do all they can to draw the attention of potential clients, including honking, whistling, or yelling. John Mina has parked his motorbike alongside other Boda Boda drivers near the hospital. Mina says he wakes up every day before 6 a.m. He says morning hours are better for business because that is when public and private sector employees are heading to work.
10 people, maybe 150, to buy the benzene. After, this profit is maybe 150, maybe 300 after day.
Mina says he decided to become a Boda Boda driver because he could not find another job.
I am an engineer, but it's maybe the cement, it is the cam goose ketil. Stop because the customer to stop the many houses stop. Now I have the Boda Boda to continue my work because I cannot stay the house.
He says in the past week bus fuel shortages and rising fuel prices have hurt his work.
Petrol is the problem. Maybe 50 come down 50 or 60 like last week, it is okay. It is the same because it's a 200 or 300 profit like that. But right now petrol is high. This is a problem. Because many motorcycle cannot work.
Aside from the Torit Civil Hospital, hundreds of other Boda Boda drivers operate around busy areas like Torit's Old Market on Omoliha Street. Oyet Paul Ojok is a Boda Boda rider in Omoliha Market. He says he has been a Boda Boda driver for more than a year now. On a good day, Ojok earns as much as 450 South Sudanese pounds.
This work of Boda Boda is something so helpful and beneficial. In fact, according to me, by the time when I am work from morning up to sunset, I'll get something around 400 pounds. That 400, I total the one even which I am foreign pool from it. By the end of the day, you will find that I'm going home with 250 or I will go with 300. Then when I reach home, maybe I will have 50 for soap. 250 I will give at home.
Thomas Ben is a Boda Boda rider in Torit's Old Market. Speaking in Arabic, he says, besides high fuel prices, Boda Boda drivers face many other hurdles.
Many people are killed, especially some of us who are working till 10 p.m. Like if a customer board you up to Ilohum or at far distance, you are sometimes tortured or even killed. That is what pains us. Our parents do shed tears for us.
He says he no longer drives customers to distant places, especially in the evening. Dario Francis is another Boda Boda driver. He says he loves his work. Speaking in Arabic, he says driving a motorbike has improved his living condition over the past 5 years.
Every day, we normally earn 250 South Sudanese pounds, which help in servicing the motorbike, buying fuel of 100 South Sudanese pounds, so one may be left with 100 South Sudanese pounds, from which you get your lunch and save some of the money for the family.
Francis says he would like to find another job, but doubts that will happen due to the high rate of unemployment in the area. For VOA News, I am Dimo Silva Aurelio in Torit.
You are tuned to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Coming up, Americans are celebrating Thanksgiving Day. Learn more about the holiday after this break.
For in-depth news and analysis on events in South Sudan, tune in to South Sudan in Focus, Monday through Friday from 1630 to 1700 UTC. We are also on the web at voanews.com/South Sudan or download our podcast on iTunes. That's South Sudan in Focus on VOA Africa.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
how has technology impacted your life?
When I want information, I just pick my phone. I just go to Google, and all the information that I want, I get it just right where I stand.
It made me to be so social to people, like on Facebook. I've known so many people, knowing how they are going on in life, and also on WhatsApp, chatting with my friends.
It's educative to me as well, because if I need to know something about history, something about a disease, something about some medicine, I just go and read about it online.
When I need information, I don't necessarily have to go to the library. All I need to do is just pick up my tablet and I Google whatever I want to know about whilst in the comfort of my home.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
You're listening to South Sudan in Focus. Today is Thanksgiving Day in the United States, a national holiday when Americans get together, often with extended family and friends, to enjoy a festive meal and offer gratitude. This year, Thanksgiving follows a bitterly contentious presidential election season, which strained relations between many family members who backed different candidates. VOA's Adam Phillips asked some fellow Americans how Donald Trump's victory will affect their Thanksgiving.
It's Tuesday, 2 days before Thanksgiving in Manhattan's Times Square. Like many tourists here, Mary Stokowski of Minneapolis, Minnesota, and her sister Peggy Brown of Tustin, California, are reflecting on the recent presidential election. Mary speaks first.
I like Mr. Trump. I think that he's going to do a good job. If we let him do some things that he would like to do, maybe not make some quick judgments, I think he might do a good job for everybody.
Are there people within your family who are more for the Clinton folks? And I'm wondering, you know, if there's going to be a conversation. Are people going to be avoiding the subject?
No, I think that there will be some listening going on, but there will be some strong opinions that will be said. One of our nieces is a very staunch Mrs. Clinton fan, so she was crying, she was ranting and raving on Facebook, and so we might not want to get into it with her because she might run out the door. I don't know.
What do you say?
In my family in California, we just stay away from the subject on Thanksgiving. We want to have a really good time, and if you start getting into politics, it alienates people, so we stay away from it.
Silence about the election will also be on the menu for Dina Sayed Ahmed's family, but for different reasons.
My family is Muslim. We're all Arab. My parents are immigrants. My two older sisters are also immigrants. So I think you can kind of get the idea that we're all kind of opposed to Trump, given our background and given the way he's been speaking about people who come from our background.
Is there fear in your family?
Naturally, there would be fear, because you can tell that I'm Muslim. You could tell that I'm not white. I mean, I don't know. We haven't really talked about it.
Are you going to talk about that?
No, I don't think so. I mean, that's been the coping mechanism so far, like just to ignore it until something really bad happens.
Israeli-American Renat Pinchas says the Jewish family that's invited her for turkey and all the trimmings takes an opposite approach. Her hosts were Hillary supporters, but their in-laws backed Trump.
And they have been at odds for months now, and they're all very, very temperamental. So I'm sure it'll be very angst-ridden / exciting / hopefully coming together at some point Thanksgiving.
What did your friend yourself say about the upcoming meal?
She was hoping she could kind of bury the hatchet, settle everything, and hopefully have some peace. But I don't think anyone's opinions are going to be changed. I think everyone's just going to be really stubborn and stick to their own guns. So probably things will escalate to a point where it gets tense, and then we'll just bring out the dessert or something.
Levi Drake from Fort Myers, Florida, comes from an interracial family where the votes were divided.
The black side of my family voted Trump, where the white side voted mixed.
You think there's going to be any tension around the dinner table?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. There's not a chance. They'll share their views, but obviously, you know, regardless if you like it or not. You have to hope the best for our president-elect and hope that he makes the right decisions. Also, it's like no one wants to be in bad spirits.
Cesar Romero is a Mexican-American whose entire family voted for Clinton. For them, Trump's victory will mean somber spirits.
We really weren't expecting a Trump victory. And it's just like a lot of soul-searching now. Like, I'm a U.S. citizen, fortunately, but not everyone is in that same boat, you know? With Thanksgiving, since my family's pretty left-wing, I think we're just going to be thinking of ways of how to help people and, like, figure out, like, why we had this vote.
Politics will be a big part of the conversation for Jeff and his family from Minnesota. They were just as passionate about supporting Trump as the Renaros were about supporting Clinton.
I think we're all very thankful for it. I don't know if it necessarily has anything to do with Thanksgiving, but it's just knowing that things are going to change.
Indeed, most Americans can agree that the transfer of power from President Barack Obama to President-elect Donald Trump will signal some dramatic changes, both in tone and policy. However, the expectation that the transfer will be peaceful, if not always smooth, is one big reason for gratitude for all Americans this Thanksgiving Day, 2016. Adam Phillips, VOA News, New York.
Many immigrants from South Sudan and Sudan are also celebrating Thanksgiving today. One South Sudanese lady says she is overwhelmed with emotion when she thinks of the life that she has built alongside her husband. But she is even more grateful for the future they are able to build for their two young boys in the East Coast state of Virginia. Ayan Bior has more from Washington.
Every year, on the fourth Thursday in November, American families and friends gather around the dinner table and celebrate Thanksgiving. It marks the day in 1621 when European pilgrims and Native American Indians shared an autumn harvest feast. The day also means eating roasted turkey, staging an elaborate parade in New York City, and watching American football on television for many, many Americans. But for Tabitha Awur, a former Lost Girl of Sudan who came to the U.S. 16 years ago, it means so much more than that. The 25-year-old stay-at-home mother of two says it's a day for her and her husband, who is also a lost boy, to reflect on how far they've come.
The first 5 years of my life in the U.S., I was in foster care. I didn't really know what Thanksgiving was the first 5 years because I was home to home. But the home that I really remember celebrating Thanksgiving actually was it's the year that I was 14. And these people, they were my family, and still today, they are my family. And, I mean, last Thanksgiving, we were back in Mississippi celebrating with them because they taught me what family is. But before, I didn't really have a family. I really just was home to home, foster care.
Awur and her husband, John Ajok, are raising two young boys. She says 3-year-old Deng and 22-month-old Ajok keep her plenty busy, but she's not complaining. Awur says she never imagined enjoying all the blessings she has received and what she calls the American dream. Awur, whose parents died in Sudan's second civil war, was transported to the southern state of Mississippi in 2000 when she was 9 years old. After 5 years of being moved from home to home in the foster care system, Awur was finally matched with a family. She says her new family took her in and accepted her as a daughter when she was just 14 years old.
Family is everything. But before, I didn't know what Thanksgiving was, or I didn't know what a family is, except living with my aunt back at the refugee camp and my uncle. Those were my family. But when I came to the U.S. and was put in foster care at age 9, I had forgot what a family is and what being in a family meant. And people that really care for you.
Nestled in their small but comfortable two-story home in suburban Ashburn, Virginia, nearly 55 kilometers northwest of Washington, D.C., Awur says she and her husband have come a long way from struggling in Kenya's Kakuma refugee camp. And while the American holiday is meant to commemorate the sharing of food between European colonists and Native Americans, Awur has incorporated stories of her own. Stories of losing her parents at a young age, moving to the United States as a refugee, and struggling to find her identity as an American South Sudanese. Awur says Thanksgiving is a day to celebrate the culmination of her success while remembering her struggle.
I mean, I know my kids are grateful. Like my son at preschool was asked, what are you thankful for? He was like, my whole house. And I just thought that was so sweet. He didn't have to say mom or dad. He's just grateful to be at a home with a family.
Ayan Bior, VOA News, Washington.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Here is a recap of today's top stories with South Sudan in Focus editor Carol Van Damme.
Thanks, John. South Sudanese women rights activists are saying enough. They are demanding that authorities arrest rape suspects and that government officials do more to ease or reduce the rampant sexual assaults against women and girls in the country. Activists began 16 days of activism, including public rallies in churches, to call people's attention to the problem of gender-based violence, which one activist calls a cancer on society. Activists say cases of gender-based violence have grown exponentially since violence broke out in Juba in July between government forces and those loyal to former First Vice President Riek Machar. They also say the violence that countries that continue across the country has destroyed South Sudan's image. Activist Agnes Wasuk, with the South Sudan Council of Churches, says the absence of peace contributes to rampant sexual violence against women. Wasuk says women activists will create awareness in churches across South Sudan, go on radio talk shows, and host panel discussions over the next 2 weeks about the negative impact of revenge attacks and acts of sexual violence. An activist who calls herself Mama Keji says since South Sudanese have experienced so many years of horrific violence, people no longer respect the rights of their fellow citizens. Do Africans still want democracy? That's the title of a new survey from Afrobarometer, a pan-African nonpartisan research network. It indicates that a 10-year upward trend of Africans demanding democracy ended around 2012. It's been heading downward ever since. Citizens in 36 African countries were questioned about their views on democracy. Professor Robert Mattis, lead author of the report, says since democracy broke out around the world in the 1980s and early 90s, researchers were interested in knowing to what extent ordinary people want to stick with that project. They asked a series of questions whether people always preferred democracy. The survey found that 68% said that democracy is always preferable. Anywhere between 70 and 80% would reject military rule and one-party rule. But when all the responses were pulled together, only 46% said they support democratic forms of government. The report also found that support for democracy dropped in each country that had an election that was flawed. And finally, today's Thanksgiving Day in the United States, a national holiday when Americans get together, often with extended family and friends. It's a day to enjoy a festive meal and offer gratitude. This year, Thanksgiving follows a bitterly contentious presidential election season that often strained relations between family members. And that's a look at today's top stories. I'm Carol Van Damme.
That's our show for this Thursday. We now leave you with a song, Banda, by Dis Majos. We have been listening to Dis Majos with the song Banda. I am John Tanza in Washington. Thanks for listening. Join us again tomorrow evening for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Banda. Mojo re ibu bulok nori ibu. Ama. Kule ngu kwa talo kon. Ibu bulok nara aso.